I just want to recognize, please give him a hand, and he is a co-sponsor of tonight's program, Wilbur Carnegie, the Clinton Hill South Ward Improvement Association. And I hope before we leave tonight, he'll tell us a little bit. They're doing $12 billion in school construction in New Jersey, and Wilbur's organizing around that. So after your talk, we'll hear some more about that. Friends, let me now do my job for tonight. And let me just say, by way of introduction, Brother Rojas, we're not strangers to one another. Our paths have crossed before. In fact, we almost ended up working for the same organization at one point. But we are so glad to have such an internationally renowned freedom fighter in our midst today, aren't we, brothers and sisters? We are so glad to have him with us today. And we know he is going to do a tremendous job with WBAI. Just by way of introduction, our organization is the People's Organization for Progress. We've been working in this community for almost two decades. We are struggling for racial, social, economic justice and peace. And we've been fighting that fight for a long time. But in all of our struggles, in the struggle against police brutality, particularly around the case of Earl Faison, in the struggle for justice for Mumia Abu-Jamal, yes, in the struggle for decent housing that people have been fighting in this city, in the struggle for equal funding of schools, which still does not exist in the state of New Jersey,
right,
in the struggle for minimum wage, in the struggles, right, for everything that would benefit working and poor people, WBAI has always been one of our greatest allies. Particularly in the case of Earl Faison, that case is now a nationally, even internationally known case because of help that we have received from WBAI. We have a good relationship. We hope to make that relationship better. We hope that you, with you at the helm, the station will continue to go in the direction it is going now. Because 2 years ago, it was going in the wrong direction. I knew something was wrong when I woke, turned on the radio one morning, and I didn't hear Sweet in the Morning. But boy, when I turned that radio on January 15th, a year later, and I heard Sweet in the Morning, I knew that we were back on track, going in the direction we need to go. And we hope that with you at the helm, that we can strengthen WBAI. WBAI is an anchor for our movement, not just here in Newark, but throughout this region. It is an anchor and it is a beacon. Many of us get our proper direction because of what we hear coming out of WBAI. Don Rojas has a long history in the movement. He is the founder and former CEO of the Black World Today, an award-winning website, which I urge everybody to take a look at. He is the former director of communications for the NAACP. In the early 1990s, he was executive editor and assistant to the publisher of the New York Amsterdam News, and that's where many of us first became familiar with Don. In the mid-1990s, he worked with a number of media organizations, those related to labor unions and also the National Council of Churches. In the mid-1980s, he worked as an executive at the International Organization of Journalists, headquartered in Prague, Czechoslovakia. In 1979 to 1983, he worked in Grenada. We're proud to know that he worked for the revolutionary government of Prime Minister Maurice Bishop. He is also a teacher. He's taught courses in the history of journalism and on minorities in the media, and he helped to coordinate. In fact, he coordinated the first ever region-wide conference of Caribbean journalists and the first ever conference of Caribbean intellectuals, both of which were successfully convened in Grenada in 1981 and 1983. Brothers and sisters, with no further delay, I present to you our guest speaker for tonight, the new manager of WBAI, Don Rojas. Let me just say, I want to present Don with a People's Organization for Progress t-shirt, a People's Organization Progress button, and best yet, our pledge of $150 from our organization for WBAI.
Wonderful. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Brother Larry Hamm. Sisters and brothers at the dais, sisters and brothers of New Jersey, I'm delighted and I'm honored to be in your company this evening. And I bring you warm and fraternal greetings from my colleagues at WBAI, from our offices at 120 Wall Street, smack in the middle of the belly of the imperial beast. I want to just pause a minute to salute Brother Larry Hamm for his many, many years of committed struggle on behalf of the people of this state. Your contributions, Brother Hamm, your history is well known and well respected, not only in New Jersey, but indeed throughout the nation, and I would dare say throughout the world. I'd like also to express special gratitude to the Concerned Friends of New Jersey and all of our New Jersey listeners who helped Concerned Friends of New Jersey defend WBAI and the Pacifica Radio Network during our crisis. To those who contributed funds, who volunteered endless hours of their time, who took to the street and spoke out for the station, who organized the first vigil in the dead of winter on behalf of WBAI, who organized the leafletting campaign on behalf of the station, reaching thousands of listeners, even renting a billboard. And some of you have traveled all over the country to board meetings, Pacifica board meetings, to hearings, to demonstrations. There are several people who are in the audience tonight. I'd like to just give special recognition and expressions of appreciation to Brother Paul Sorrell, Brother Fred Nguyen, Brother Steve Bernhardt, Steve Herr, to Bob and Patty Bender, and to Andy Norris, and forgive me if there are others in the room that I have not recognize. But sisters and brothers, I am pleased to report to you tonight that our listenership in New Jersey is the fastest growing in the entire tri-state region. In fact, in our recently concluded winter fund drive, which was very successful, thousands of New Jersey listeners pledged their generous financial support and helped to make this a record-breaking drive. And so from me and from the entire WBAI family, I want to say thank you, New Jersey. Thank you very much. Please give yourselves a round of applause. But as you know, the truth is,
that we not only welcome your pledges and your financial support, we also welcome and encourage your involvement in the life of the People's Radio Station. I invite you to visit our station at 120 Wall Street, sign up to become a volunteer, get involved in New Jersey Friends of WBAI, help us to build the station so that it begins to realize its fullest potential. I am humbled and honored for having been chosen to lead WBAI as its next general manager. And to all in New Jersey who supported my candidacy, I also wish to express my personal gratitude. The selection of a new general manager was indeed a long and tedious process, but it was nonetheless a necessary exercise in participatory democracy and institutional transparency, particularly in the wake of the recent crises at WBAI and other Pacifica stations. I'm happy to say that these crises are now behind us, and we are moving forward with new energy, momentum, determination, and renewed resolve. And the valiant activism that many of you in the New Jersey listening community exhibited in recent times helped to rescue WBAI from impending peril. Your energy and your dedication, personal sacrifices made by many of you, and the passion that you brought guaranteed that the station would be returned to its founding principles and to its historical mission. And as we move forward in the new year, I would hope that our loyal listeners in the Garden State can once again muster the same levels of passion and energy that would be required to tackle the many tasks and challenges that lie ahead. New mechanisms will be institutionalized to increase the levels of listener involvement and democratic participation in all aspects of the station's operations. We are proud of our unique status in the world of radio as a non-commercial, listener-sponsored station dedicated to peace and justice for all. We will remain unalterably committed to these principles and to the propagation of free speech radio, exercised with responsibility and consonant with our mission. At this dangerous moment in the history of this country and the world, with America on the verge of launching an imperialist war against a small third world country named Iraq, WBAI stands out as a beacon of truth and light. While the mainstream media relentlessly beats the drums of war and aggression, WBAI remains the drum major for peace and justice. While the corporate media lies and distorts and misleads the American people, WBAI and our sister Pacifica stations bring truth to discourse and speak truth to power.
Indeed.
While there will be no attempt made to censor or gag anyone's right to express themselves freely on the WBAI airwaves, we will nevertheless implore both our producers and our listeners to respect the boundaries of free speech and to refrain from engaging in obscenities or in the slander of anyone or any group based on their race, ethnicity, religion, or sexual preference. Any manifestation of racism, racial profiling, race baiting, sexism, or anti-Semitism will not be tolerated within the WBAI family. On the contrary, WBAI must become a model of multicultural and multiracial tolerance, understanding, and cooperation. Today, I don't intend to outline a detailed vision or an action agenda for the station. That'll take us too much time. But I do want to share with you some of the priorities that I'd like to work on collectively with the WBAI family over the next 6 to 12 months. We have already begun the process of significantly expanding WBAI's news and public affairs capacity, beginning with, in the next week or so, the introduction of news headlines and guest commentaries at the top of each hour. We have also begun to make some changes in our signature programs, Wake Up Call in the morning, for example. We have begun, and the process continues, to completely overhaul and enhance WBAI's website and to position the station as a pioneer in the new media of internet radio. Bandwidth will be significantly expanded to accommodate many more simultaneous listeners to our live stream. News and information will be updated daily on the site. Programs will be archived on the internet for up to 7 days, and each program will be given a page at the station's website. The site will be completely redesigned to maximize the interactivity and communications flow between the station's staff and its listeners. We have begun to explore the possibilities of having select WBAI programs distributed across the country via satellite radio. Soon we will be reestablishing the Folio as a regular WBAI newsletter in both printed and electronic formats. We will also be increasing the amount of live remote broadcasts of important events in the tri-state area. Beginning within the next 2 weeks or so, with live broadcasts of protests and actions and forums against the war in Brooklyn, in Manhattan, in Queens, and hopefully very soon in New Jersey as well. We have begun to institute a mandatory technical training program for all staff and an apprentice training program for young radio journalists and producers. We will produce more programming that documents the histories of the peace, justice, labor, and national liberation movements in the United States and around the world. And we will strengthen our strategic partnerships with other alternative progressive media entities. To be sure, this is a fairly ambitious agenda, sisters and brothers, but it is all designed to bring our listeners a better radio service. But nothing on this agenda can be accomplished without your support. It is worth reiterating here that WBAI is not owned by some corporate media conglomerate. And it does not generate millions of dollars in advertising revenues. We are owned by the Pacifica Foundation, a modest nonprofit entity, and the vast majority of our financial support comes from you in the listening community. And this reality will not change, and so we will continue to call on our listeners to provide the financial sustenance for our survival and our growth in the months ahead. Your pledges to WBAI are investments that you make in alternative media, and it is our responsibility to give you a decent return on your investment in the form of quality programming. Sisters and brothers, the members of the WBAI radio community are a wonderful collection of racially and culturally diverse individuals, talented, committed folk. There's nothing quite like this community anywhere in this country. And I sincerely believe that this community is now being called upon to perform a historic task for the New York and New Jersey metropolitan areas, and indeed for the country as a whole. We all have an opportunity and an obligation to build and foster multicultural solidarity and multiracial collaboration as the antidote to the increased balkanization in our communities. We have before us an opportunity, unprecedented opportunity, to build bridges of dialogue and cooperation that are designed to break down these polarizations. We all hail from communities that are rich in heritage and culture, none of which is superior to the other. But underlying these cultural differences, there are commonalities based upon similar economic interests and aspirations. Working people of all ethnicities, African American, Latino, Jewish, Asian American, Italian, Irish, Polish, Greek, Haitian, Caribbean, all are seeking the same fundamentals for themselves and their families, all struggling to realize the potential that U.S. capitalism has promised them, the promise of equality of opportunity and the possibility of prosperity. I believe that on the basis of these commonalities, an independent progressive movement can construct multicultural solidarity in the tri-state area and become a vanguard institution of the progressive movement throughout this country. Only on WBAI can New York's working people find the kind, New York and New Jersey's working people find the kinds of ideas and discussions that can inform, educate, and unite them around their common interests. Commercial media, on the other hand, serves to mystify, misinform, mislead, and obfuscate. Only on WBAI can New York's multicultural working people and New Jersey's multicultural working people find a message that there can be no peace and social progress without social justice and economic equality. Together we can strengthen WBAI as a catalyst for multiracial solidarity, as an instrument to organize and mobilize a united opposition to the forces that are blocking the realization of the American dream for countless millions. And who are these forces? They are the political and economic elites that continue to prostitute the political process, rape the U.S. Constitution, subvert real democracy, and rip off the wealth produced by the working people. Some have called them the permanent and invisible government. These ruling elites perpetuate the structural inequalities in U.S. capitalism, and they cleverly use institutionalized racism and sexism to keep us divided and constantly fighting each other over turf, over prerogatives, over privileges. In recent weeks, sisters and brothers, we have witnessed millions of people of all ethnicities, religions, and political affiliations cutting across the generations, mobilizing around this country and the world against an impending war in the Middle East. Tens of thousands of youths continue to take to the streets and cities around the world in anti-corporate globalization and anti-racism protests. Millions of Americans, alarmed at what's being done to them in the name of democracy and in the name of fighting terrorism, are beginning to fight back Washington's assaults on our civil liberties. In the days ahead, these forces will turn to BAI and Pacifica for information, for inspiration, for analysis, for guidance. Let us not kid ourselves. The forces of reaction will also turn against the station and the network. And we must be prepared for that. We must have contingency plans in place to defend the survival of WBAI, the People's Radio. It is therefore imperative that we prepare ourselves to more effectively serve the needs of these growing social movements. So how do we do that? Fundamentally, we must recognize the gravity of such a responsibility. Secondly, we need to modify our programming model to meet the requirements of the movements. And thirdly, we must allocate resources to the training of staff in the skills and the competencies that the times demand. Sisters and brothers, the superpower ideology emanating from Washington is an ideology that seeks peace and global stability through coercion. They claim to be gathering a coalition of the willing. Such a misnomer. This is a coalition of the coerced. It is an ideology of dominance, of control, aggression, acquisition at the expense of others, disrespect for the sovereignty of whole peoples and nations, subjugation of other cultures, the foisting of a value system and a way of life on others who have no interest or need for it. Such an ideology is life-destroying, not life-affirming. This post-Cold War ideology of the sole superpower is exemplified in U.S. foreign policy on two fronts. The doctrine of preemptive strike and unrivaled supremacy and the bullying of the United Nations. This preemptive doctrine is unprecedented in the annals of imperial arrogance. Mm. It is Uncle Sam's ego writ large. It not only dismisses the basic tenets of international law, but more ominously, it represents a dangerous threat to world peace in our lifetime. There is no countervailing force at the level of state power to be found, no effective checks and balances originating from the capitals of the world, with the exception probably of Paris. And to a lesser extent, Moscow. A lesser extent, Bonn or Berlin. The once mighty Russian bear has been defanged. The Chinese star is rising in the east, but it will be years before it reaches its optimum strength. And Europe, while grumbling about Washington acting as an overly aggressive cop, has no appetite for confronting this type of global police brutality. That's right. Besides, the European elites understand quite clearly that the doctrine of preemptive strike is not directed at them, but at those, quote-unquote, unruly people of color, the vast majority of whom were once colonized by Europe itself. The corporate media, which is becoming less diverse each day thanks to the free market policies of the FCC, has been cowed into genuflecting to this superpower ideology. Look at how they deliberately underreport and discredit the peace movement or the actions of working people struggling for economic justice. Sisters and brothers, one of the many myths that the right wing has been propagating is the myth of the liberal media. I submit that there is no liberal media left in this country. The New York Times, the Washington Post, the TV networks, the cable networks, including CNN, have all moved more and more to the right in recent years. Just read their editorials, read their op-ed pieces, their commentaries, check out the talking heads on TV. There is a preponderance of conservative voices on television and radio. You have to look hard and listen even harder to find the voices of peace and justice in mainstream media. In this context, more and more listeners are turning to WBAI and other independent media for the other side of the story, for the truth. We at WBI make no apologies for being media advocates and media activists. We are not objective about issues of peace and justice. Rational people and people of conscience can never be impartial about peace and justice. But there is an emerging force coming from the streets in cities and towns across the United States and the world. A populist force that is justifiably alarmed and wants to do something to reverse this perilous course. In a world of a single superpower, this grassroots people's movement is fast becoming the second superpower. And as this new superpower grows in numbers and in courage, it is saying to the mighty forces in Washington, we will oppose your war for oil. We will oppose your plans for world domination. We will not allow you to divide and conquer the peoples of the world. In domestic policy, this ideology manifests itself in the emphasis on homeland security and tax cuts for the wealthy. It is precisely this superpower arrogance that has bred so much hatred for the U.S. government around the world, and which fuels the terrorism that takes so many innocent lives in acts of mindless violence. I submit that the first step in making the homeland more secure is to make the homeland more compassionate. Giving the government the right to spy on every American and to gather data on their personal affairs is more than a blatant violation of privacy. It is the beginning of high-tech fascism in America. Empire in the 19th and 20th centuries were empires of colonies. Empire in the 21st century is fundamentally an empire of interests. Corporate interests, backed and advanced by both the threat and the use of military power. While the form of the empire has changed, the fundamental dynamic has not, and that is the economic exploitation and control of nations and peoples. And this new form of imperialism is euphemistically called globalism. Sisters and brothers, this ideology is in contradiction to all of our vital interests. No matter if we are black or white or Latino or Asian, straight or gay, believers or non-believers. The reality is that the current Bush administration has a clear and specific vision for the future of America and the world. And they believe it's a positive vision. In order to put forward an alternative vision, it's essential to first understand the vision of America held by the new right. President Bush is a captive of the new right. The core of the neoconservative vision was first articulated in June of 1997 in the Statement of Principles put forward by the Project for the New American Century, signed by Dick Cheney, Donald Rumsfeld, Bill Bennett, Jeb Bush, Gary Bauer, Elliot Abrams, Paul Wolfowitz, Vin Weber, Steve Forbes, and others from the Reagan-Bush administration. And it clearly stated that, quote, the history of this century should have taught us to embrace the cause of American leadership, unquote. Frankly, acknowledging that America is a small portion of the world's population but uses a large percentage of the world's oil and other natural resources, Papa Bush is famous for having said, quote, the American lifestyle is not negotiable. Let us be clear on one thing, sisters and brothers. This war against Iraq is not about disarming Saddam Hussein of weapons of mass destruction. Anyone with half a brain can understand that Iraq poses no threat to the security of the United States. And there is no evidence that Iraq has any relationship with the Al-Qaeda terrorists. There is no evidence that Iraq has a nuclear weapons program. And Iraq does not have any intercontinental ballistic missiles that can deliver warheads to U.S. cities. Right. At the core of this is oil.
Yes. Yes.
When the administration's people say American involvement in Iraq is not about oil, they are often responding to charges that they are only going after profits for American oil companies. They speak the truth in that context. When they say that war isn't about revenues from oil, the profits will only be a desirable side effect. What the war is really about is the survival of the American lifestyle, which in their worldview is both non-negotiable and based almost entirely on access to cheap oil. Most of the world has now been digitally x-rayed using satellites, seismic data, and computers in the process of locating 41,000 oil fields around the world. Over 641,000 exploratory wells have been drilled, and virtually all fields which show any promise are well known and factored into the 1 trillion barrel estimate the oil industry uses for world oil reserves. Now listen to this very carefully, sisters and brothers. Of that 1 trillion barrels of oil, reserve oil, the oil that's still in the ground, Saudi Arabia has about 259 billion barrels, and Iraq is estimated by the U.S. government to have 432 billion barrels. Although at the moment only about 112 billion barrels have been tapped, the rest, so-called virgin oil, can be pumped out for as little as $1.50 a barrel, making Iraqi oil not only the most abundant in the world, but also the most profitable. This at a time when virtually all American oil fields, with the exception of the Alaska North Slope, have dwindled past what is called in the business the Hubert Peak, and which costs on the average $5 to $25 per barrel in pumping costs. Follow me with the arithmetic here. Thus we see that our American lifestyle, our ability to maintain our auto-based transportation systems, our demand for big warm houses, our appetite for a wide variety of cheap foods and consumer goods is currently based on access to cheap oil. If we assume that the American people won't tolerate a change in that lifestyle, then we can extrapolate that our very security as a stable democracy is dependent on cheap oil. Viewed in this context, the rush to seize control of the Middle East, where about a third of the planet's oil is located, makes perfect sense, doesn't it? It's a noble endeavor in that view to maintain the strength and the vitality of the American empire. Of course, there are a few cracks in this vision. Because in order to have such a new American century, we must be willing to foul our waters and our air with the byproducts of oil combustion and oil-fired power plants and tolerate the explosions in cancer that they bring. We must be willing to gamble that raising CO2 levels won't destabilize the atmosphere and tip us into a new ice age by shutting down the Great Conveyor Belt, warm water currents in the Atlantic. We must be willing to hold the rest of the world off at the point of a bayonet and to take on the England, Northern Ireland, and Israel-Palestinian type of terrorism that inevitably comes when people decide to assert nationalism and to confront empire. And perhaps most distressing, the third George to be president of the United States must be willing to clamp down on his own dissident citizens the way that King George III of England did in 1776. Why? Because these are the requirements of empire. The last American statesman to put forward a different vision was President Jimmy Carter, who candidly pointed out to the American people that oil was a dwindling domestic resource. Carter said that we mustn't find ourselves in the position of having to fight wars to seize other people's oil, and that a decade or two of transition to renewable energy sources would ensure the stability and future of America without destabilizing the rest of the world. It would even lead to a cleaner environment and a better quality of life. Carter put into place energy tax credits and incentives that birthed an exploding new industry based on building solar-heated homes, windmill-powered communities, and the development of fuel alternatives to petroleum. And when Ronald Reagan came to office, his first official act was to remove Carter's solar panels from the roof of the White House. He then repealed Carter's tax incentives for renewable energy and killed off an entire industry. No president since then has had the courage or the vision to face the hard reality that Carter shared with us. It's one reason why, in the wisdom of our friends in Sweden, he was given the Nobel Peace Prize last year. And so we discover these oddities. Osama bin Laden, for example, explicitly said that he had attacked the United States because we had troops stationed on the holy soil of his homeland, a position not that different from Northern Irish, Palestinian, Tamil, and Kashmiri terrorists. And our troops are there to protect our access to Saudi oil, a dependence legacy we inherited from Reagan's rejection of Carter's initiatives. If we are to hold a vision of America that doesn't depend on foreign sources of oil and doesn't require the enormous expenditures of money and blood to project and protect empire, simply saying stop the war isn't enough. We must begin, sisters and brothers, to clearly articulate a vision of what America could be in a world of balance, a world at peace, and a world where the planet's vital natural resources are protected and renewed. This is the ultimate family value. This is the highest form of patriotism and the most desperately needed story to guide the next generation of Americans. And we at WBEI intend to relate that story to this and future generations. As President John F. Kennedy said in his 1961 inaugural address, All this will not be finished in the first 100 days, nor will it be finished in the first 1,000 days, nor in the life of this administration, nor even perhaps in our lifetime on this planet. But let us begin. To not struggle against the menace of empire would be irresponsible. The stakes are too high. And as serious progressives, we have a duty to both expose and oppose this madness. In all aspects of our radio programming at WBEI, from news and public affairs to arts and culture, as well as in our various community outreach activities. And so, sisters and brothers, in the weeks and months ahead, with unity and resolve, I say let our collective voice say to the critics and the naysayers, we will henceforth struggle mightily for life, liberty, democracy, and the pursuit of happiness for all, not just for a few, and that we will steadfastly oppose the conservation of a political and economic order that benefits a small minority at the expense of a vast majority. This, dear friends, is the unique historical task of progressive institutions like WBAI. Our programming, therefore, must not only reflect our principled protest to this hegemonic agenda, but also it must articulate an alternative vision for our listeners, an uplifting, liberating, and empowering vision. So in conclusion, sisters and brothers, let me reiterate that I bring one simple agenda to my new job: to work with all of you, with staff, and with listeners in a dynamic collective that grows WBAI into the most influential and respected alternative media institution in this country. Mm-hmm. I carry no water for any political party or political orthodoxy. All I seek is your support and your cooperation, and I pledge to you my best efforts. Sisters and brothers, friends and comrades, working in harmony, I am convinced that we can achieve our lofty objectives. And so let us now link our hands and our hearts and our minds. Let us march forward shoulder to shoulder towards the noble goal of using radio and new media to construct a better country, a better world for our children, our families, our friends, and ultimately for all humanity. Long live WBAI. Forward ever, backward ever. B-A-I, 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 B-A-I. Thank you. Your brother Don, another hand.